I think we need to spend a few moments understanding how angels came into existence and some of the activities that they're going to be involved in. The Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, gives us the information about the days of creation, the 6 days of creation. Chapter 2 goes into some detail about some of the events of that creative week that would have taken place. In both of those chapters, chapters 1 and 2, we see no evidence as to the exact statement as when angels were created. There's not one statement in the scriptures anyplace, but in particular, in the record of the creative week, that there was a time when God created angels. I have read, maybe you've heard some preachers. There's this little kind of a chubby preacher out in San Antonio, Texas, that stands up in front of his charts and makes the statement that angels are prehistoric creatures. Evil angels fell in prehistoric times. Now, as soon as that man used that word prehistoric, you should have turned the television off. It showed his ignorance. Prehistoric is an oxymoron. It doesn't mean anything. How can you have something before history? I mean, that's stupidity. It's an oxymoron. It shows his ignorance. Nothing except God was before history. When did you know what history is? His story. You know when it was started? In the beginning, God. That's when history started. Genesis 1:1. And it continues all the way over to Revelation 21, when we have new heavens, new earth, no more time, no more night. No more history, eternity future. And so there's nothing prehistoric. They want to, you know, if somebody doesn't understand how to explain what the Bible says, they just throw everything over in prehistoric times. Dinosaurs were created in prehistoric times. They're prehistoric animals. Baloney. They were created on the sixth day of creation, when he created all creeping things upon the earth. Before he created man, the Bible tells us every single thing about how we came into existence. But it does not mention when angels specifically were created. Now, how do you then come to a conclusion as and an understanding of when they were created? Well, just like you would, for example, if you're trying to develop your doctrine on the Trinity. There's no simple verse that says this is explaining the Trinity. What do? You assimilate a bunch of passages that have a relationship to the Trinity, and then you assimilate these, you come to a conclusion. That's how you have to come to a conclusion on when angels were created. Go to the book of Job with me. We'll come back to Ezekiel, so keep it open. But go to the book of Job, and let's look and see if we can come to some understanding of when angels were created. The book of Job, of course, you might well remember, is an excellent book talking about probably the oldest book in the Bible. And most likely, it's dealing with a man who lived in the area of the city of Jerusalem. He describes dinosaurs, which, you know, until about 150 years ago, when that word was created by some English professor, they were called large lizards. But now we call them dinosaurs because we're so well educated. They weren't called dinosaurs early on. They were called large lizards. In fact, there are some dinosaurs that are still alive today. My wife and I were born in Miami, Florida. I'm a herpetologist by hobby. A herpetologist is someone who studies reptiles. I have spent much of my life catching reptiles, and mostly snakes. In fact, when Judy and I first got married, we were very young. She was 17, I was 18. Those young marriages don't work. But anyway, Judy and I have been married for 48 years. As I told you last night, I want you to know something. We've only had one fight in those 48 years, one fight. It started in 1959, but anyway. You know, when we first early on got married, we didn't have anything to do. I was stationed in the Air Force in Del Rio, Texas, which is the armpit of the world. And we were out there in Del Rio, nothing to do. I had an old 40 Ford sedan, and it was the car that God let us have. And so what we would do at night is we would go out on those old ranch roads in South Texas. And those ranch roads would stay warm from the heat of the sun during the day. And those rattlesnakes would crawl up on the ranch road for the warmth, you know. And so I would sit on the hood of that old 40 Ford. Judy would be driving the old 40 Ford. And the lights out there would be on high beam. And I'd see a rattlesnake on the road. I'd say, "Hold it, Judy." And I'd stop and jump off and grab the rattlesnake, put it in a sack. Well, it was actually a pillowcase. And I'd put it in the front seat beside Judy. And we'd go looking for another. I don't know this lady. She married me, so she had to take what she got. You get what you see, you know. And in fact, I got to tell you this, and I'll get back to the Bible. We lived in Del Rio, and a lady came to do the census. She was from El Paso, Texas. She came to Del Rio to do the census. Now, I had 55 rattlesnakes at one time, and I had it in an old ammunition box sitting in the living room right beside the couch. You know, the top was on it, so they were there. Nobody would know they're there. We put a little cloth over it and let's set a lamp on it, you know. It was our end table. And so she comes in, she sits down, she's talking to us, taking the census, she finishes, she goes upstairs. She gets upstairs, she's talking to the lady upstairs. The lady upstairs said, "Have you been downstairs?" "Yes, I have." "Did you count the snakes?" "The snakes?" She says, "Yes, rattlesnakes." "Rattlesnakes?" She said, "Yeah, right beside the couch." "Beside the couch?" And she went back and wrote it up in the paper. She counted 55 rattlesnakes in her census taking. By the way, I got some more snakes, and it wouldn't, that little box, ammunition box, old ammunition box I got from the air, wouldn't hold the snakes, so I built me a cage, and I put a glass front on it, and we had a little small apartment, so the only place I could put it fit right up underneath our baby crib, so we put it underneath the baby crib right there. And it had the glass front. And the problem was I finally had to move them out because every time Judy had walked to take care of our little boy, Jimmy, you know, and she'd walk up to the crib, one of those snakes would hit the glass. And they couldn't get her, but it scared her to death. So she finally made me move them out. But I can tell you this. As a herpetologist, I can tell you there are still dinosaurs on Earth. There's a bunch of them out in the Everglades. They call them alligators. That's what a dinosaur was. And those weren't created in prehistoric times on the sixth day of creation. Now, when were angels created? Well, if you've got Job, by the way, I tell you that because you can look at over in the 40th chapter of Job sometime and see him describing a dinosaur with a tail like a big log and gulping up the Jordan River down there at Jericho. It's an exciting book. But let me show you about the angels. Look at chapter 38. The Lord, here, and let me just set the scene for you. Job is really uptight. I mean, he's lost his wife, he's lost his kids, he's lost his health, he's lost his wealth, everything. And some of his good friends, quote, come to him and say, "Why don't you just denounce God and die?" Well, you know, he's not going to do that. But about that time, the Lord comes along, is going to have a conversation with Job. And he has a conversation with Job, and he speaks rather loud, so those neighbors, our friends, so-called friends of Job, can overhear him. Here's what he says, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" You know, because now Job is starting to question what God did. Here's what he says in verse 3. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, Job, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me." Be a man, Job. Stand up and ask your question. But before you do, let me ask you a question. Look at the question he asked, verse 4. "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, Job?" You got a problem? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Continue. "Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it?" Have you ever measured the earth or the foundations of the earth, Job? "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" How are they fastened to the earth, Job? You think you have a problem? Tell me. Answer these questions. "Or who laid the cornerstone of the earth?" And then look at verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now that gives us the main clue as to when God created angels. Put verse 4 and verse 7 together. Notice this. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now go to verse 7. When the morning stars, that is a phrase that is describing angels, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God, another phrase that is describing angels, shouted for joy. Whenever God created the earth, the angels shouted for joy. Whenever that was. Now, with that information, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I want to show you the time when God created angels. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens, it should be plural. My King James Bible says heaven. There are three heavens, and so it should be plural. And in the original Hebrew, it is plural. In the beginning, God created the heavens, and then the text says, and the earth. But what it fails to say is, he created the heavens, the habitation for angels, and before he created the earth, he created angels. How do I know that? Chapter 38 of Job, verse 7 says, they shouted for joy when he created the earth. I don't know. When they said, hey, that was good, God. Man, that's great. I don't know what they said exactly, but they shouted for joy. So between chapter 1a and 1b, chapter 1, verse 1a and 1b, God brought angels into existence. They were there before the earth was created. And they were all good angels. How do I know that? Go to chapter 1, verse 31. Chapter 1, verse 31. And let me show you what God says. And God saw everything. He looks back over. He's now moved into Saturday, getting ready to move into Saturday and rest. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, notice, very good. I love the Hebrew flavor of it. Abundantly excellent. Don't you like that? God saw everything he created. It was abundantly excellent. By the way, that destroys a so-called gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I don't care whether he's a Christian, supposed genius, scholar, or not. There is no gap. There is no period. These were six 24-hour days and no period between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. How do I know? God said everything I created was excellent, abundantly excellent, very good. So there was no destructive period of time, as some so-called Christian scholars are trying to tell us. Be careful. Be careful of what you study. Keep it attuned to the Word of God. Everything was abundant. All angels were good angels. They weren't created in prehistoric times. Demonic creatures, which are angels, fallen and possessing a human body, were not in existence before Genesis 1:1. And in the 6 days of creation, they did not fall. Now, when did they fall? I'm a little bit unknowledgeable of when, but let me just give you a time frame. Between the sixth day of creation, and go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Between the sixth day of creation and the time that God is going to have an opportunity to communicate with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Who comes along? Verse 1, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. Who is the serpent? Well, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9 says, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. That's who the serpent is. It's Satan in the form of a serpent. Whatever that serpent may have looked like. Was it like a rattlesnake crawling down? I don't know. A serpent. That's what we have. It was made then to crawl upon the face of the earth after this. But Satan, in the form of a serpent, appears sometime between Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. How long a period of time is that? I am not very sure. I don't know. I don't think it was too long a period of time. Why? Because it's chapter 4 when Cain and Abel come into existence, and God told them in chapter 1 to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And so it's early on in their existence. That's when Lucifer, the most prominent, he was above all of creation, above the throne of God, in the Garden of Eden. Let me show you why he got uptight. Look at chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and people the earth. And subdue it, notice, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He gave man dominion. And that most prominent of cherubs, Lucifer, said, I don't like that. I was in charge of creation. Now he's given it to man. I will rise above God. Lucifer becomes Satan sometime after the sixth day of creation, early on in the existence of humankind. What does he do?